Hey, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6, if you will. We'll get the birthdays and anniversaries next week and catch up on them. Maybe we'll have somebody that way, all right? But good to see you here. I was just thinking we used to run over 100 in this Sunday school class when I first came here. And we've lost so many people, and then they started other classes. And a lot of our folks are sick, but I'm glad you're here. So I'll just teach you while you're here. How will that be? That'll be a fair deal, won't it? It's good to see you here, by the way. Beautiful day God's given us. I never thought 45 would seem so warm, but it seems good and warm today. Evelyn Kinson, by the way, is in Medical City Hospital there in Fort Worth, and she has pneumonia and some other problems going on right now, so be praying for her. And she was taken to the hospital, I guess, yesterday, probably. But anyway, that's where she is, so pray for her. And Kathy Simmons is actually in a nursing home. They were not able to work out the hospice for her, but she's in a nursing home in North Fort Worth and having a very difficult time. So pray for her and pray for Brother Larry. They really need our love and prayers during this time. All right, it's not what you think. It isn't what you think. That's the series we're in right now. A lot of things we have our opinions about, but they're wrong opinions. It isn't really what we think. It's what the Word of God says. And so our lesson today is entitled, and this is nothing new to you, this type lesson, Give and It Shall Be Given. And that's what the Word of God teaches. So look at Luke, if you will, chapter 6 and verse 38. A verse that I'm sure this class is very familiar with. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. A good verse, a powerful verse, and a strong verse. Question, are you a giver by nature, or are you a taker by nature? Be honest with yourself. Would you rather receive, or would you rather give? Are we givers by nature, because we're Christians, or are we more like takers? All of us for sure have met people that are takers. Enough is never enough. No matter what you do for them, no matter how much you give them, no matter how much you help them, they want more and more and more, and the expectations are that way. So there are a lot of people that enough is just never enough. In February 2018, fairly recent, a 22-year-old young man in Russia wanted his inheritance, and he didn't want to wait on his inheritance. He wanted it early. So he hired a hitman to kill his mother and father so he could get his inheritance early. That's pretty depraved, isn't it? And so he talked to what he thought was a hitman, was actually an undercover policeman, and set it up for that to happen. And then the undercover man talked to his parents. They went along with him when they found out what was going to be done. And so when he gave the report, he came to say, did you get it done? And he arrested him, and he had to go to prison because of the ruling on his position. So obviously that would be an amplified situation of a person who really was self-centered and had a self-centered heart, and he was a taker. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful, or we fall into that very same trap. Give me what I want. Give it to me because I deserve it. Truth is, we really don't deserve it, but we feel that way sometimes. By the way, that's a characteristic of the last days. A characteristic of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see any of that around? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That wasn't in the Bible, I'm sorry. Unthankful, unholy. These are signs of the last days. Now, we have a lot of scams that are out there. Don't you get tired of some of these scams? But some people fall for those scams. You know why? They want something for nothing. And that just usually does not work out. The get-rich-quick schemes. And by the way, that's not God's way to do it. You gambling Baptist, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. That's not God's way. I'm sure none of you in here do that. But at any rate, we need to give to be blessed. That's God's way. Now, that doesn't mean you're foolish or you don't save some money. It's a good thing to save some money. It's a good thing to have some saved back. But don't just hoard it and hang on to all of it. Give. God blesses when we give. And if we give in addition to our savings, God honors it. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth, gives, and yet increaseth. That seems strange. You scatter and increase. Well, a farmer would understand that. And there is that withholdeth more than is necessary meat, than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. If we hold back more than is really necessary and don't get it circulating in God's work, then God's not pleased with it. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him, what, labor, working with his hands. That's a good formula for today, isn't it? We need to get back to that. Working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Work, get, so you can help others out. That's what it says in that verse. So we need to get God's blessings. We do that by giving. Now, why should we become givers and not just hoarders and people who want? Number one, it's in your outline there. Givers understand the character of God. Givers understand the character of God. And, of course, in our text, he teaches us the principle, but he doesn't ask us to do what he was not willing to do. I've always liked the kind of boss that would ask you to do something, but he'd be willing to do it too. And I've always liked staff people like that on my staff. But we know that God doesn't ask us to do what he wouldn't do. And so Jesus established the pattern. God created everything. Colossians 1:16-17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or still hold together. So God created it all. God is the giver, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and mercy. Then he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you're walking in God's will, no good thing that is good for you, whatever, he will not withhold that from you. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He does it. He gives us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Now, what has he given us? What has God given us? That's true, everything. If we give, we ought to think of what he's given to us. What does God give us? Well, first of all, he gives us salvation. Hallelujah. Thank God he gives us salvation. The greatest gift is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? He gave his only son. He gives salvation and then he gives us security. I'm glad for security. I feel sorry for Christians that don't really know they're saved. that say, well, I hope I am, or I think I am, or maybe I'll get there. No, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. You know that. The Bible teaches once saved, always saved, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot lose your salvation. You can lose your fellowship and getting along with God and His blessing. You can't lose your salvation. So the Holy Spirit is He is our anchor, our true anchor in a changing world that we're facing even today. Romans 8:38, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, I'd say that covers about everything, wouldn't you? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And aren't you glad God doesn't change? God is immutable. He does not change. What if God changed? What if He decided one day, well, I don't know about this eternal security thing. I'm going to take that away from Him. God does not change. He is immutable. He's the same. And so He gives us, He said in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. God is the same, and He's always the same. There is no shadow of turning with Him. And then He gives sustenance. God gives us sustenance. Physical needs. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. There's not anything wrong with having some things if they're put in proper perspective and you're living for God and still getting all that in perspective as far as your giving. But He's saying that we're not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things richly, all things to enjoy. And then He gives us spiritual needs. Well, what do you mean? Well, He gives us the Word of God, doesn't He? And we have spiritual needs. We go to the Word of God, and you can't go to the Word of God without getting your spiritual needs met. If you stay in the Word, you're going to get your spiritual needs met. Psalm 119:116, uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. He says, I'll help you out, spiritual needs. And then we all have seasons of testing, don't we? Seasons of trials. Some of you today are going through some deep trials. I just mentioned some earlier who are going through deep trials. Psalm 55:22, He gives special grace. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall what? Sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He's not going to let us be totally defeated. He's going to sustain us. And then He gives us satisfaction. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm satisfied with Jesus, the writer said. But the question comes to me, is He satisfied with me? But I'm satisfied with Him. But He does give us satisfaction. And God created in every human being a vacuum that only He can fill. And when we accept Christ, that vacuum is filled, and we have satisfaction. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the what? Desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in God, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And if you're walking with Him, you're going to have the right desires. And it's not just getting $1 million or something like that. Now, God is the giver of all good things. We reflect God whenever we give. He gave, we give. So what are some of the provisions that you're grateful for today? You know some of them. You think about in your own life, what are some of the things God has provided for you that you'd say, well, I'm thankful for this. Well, I'm thankful I'm saved, and I'm thankful I'm secure, and I'm thankful for those things we mentioned. But what about, I'm thankful that I have clothes to wear. Or I'm thankful I have a house to live in. I hope your heat's working. And the heat's working. I'm thankful for a car. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for a good church. We could go on and on ad infinitum and just keep going. Things that we ought to be able to say, I am really thankful for God's provisions for me. So givers understand the character of God. Number two, givers obey the command of God. Givers obey the command of God. Again, in Luke 6:38, our text verse. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, give there is a command. Give is a command from God. And this word is expressed in the present tense. Always in the present tense. In other words, it's not a one-time command. It's a continual command. It goes on and on. And it should characterize us the rest of our lives. The motive in our giving should be love. And it shouldn't be hard or drudgery. Or we should not resent giving. If you do that, you might as well keep it. But we should not resent giving to God. It's not a drudgery. Two main things cause giving. Number one, our love for God. Do you love God today? And number two is our outlook on life. How do we look at life? What is our worldview? How do we look at our whole life? So under that, I think you have that in your notes. Obedience to God's command to give is contingent on my love. Obedience to God's command to give is contingent. It's based on my love. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, how that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. To show our love, we obey him. And we seek to please God. He's the one that's loved us the most. And we have to decide, do I love myself or do I love God the most? And I'm afraid a lot of Christians love themselves. They don't want to admit it, but they love themselves. They're taking care of number one before they are putting God first. And that's a sad thing. Jesus, when he talked to Peter, after Peter's failure and everything, he said, Peter, what did he ask him? Lovest thou me? Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep, feed my little kids, my lambs, feed my sheep, feed them. And so it was based on the question, Peter, lovest thou me? Do you really love me? Now, if we love God, let me give you very quickly about three things that love for God will produce. Number one, loving God will change who I am. Loving God will change who I am. I'll change from a self-seeker to a God-seeker. Most people in the world that are not saved, and that's most of them in the world, do not seek God, they seek self. You can see it and hear it all the time. Mark said 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The first commandment, he sums it up. Love God with everything you've got. Let's put it that way. And that's what he's talking about. So if you do that, it'll change you from a self-seeker to a God-seeker. Number two, loving God changes what I do. If I really love God, it will change what I do. We don't give just to get from God. We don't give just for return, although we're promise that, but we give out of love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, pulls us, constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He died for us, and his love constrains us. And then B in your outline, obedience to God's command is contingent on my look, how I'm looking at things, on my look. Now, if we look through the earthly lens, the worldview that is an earthly, self-centered, geocentric worldview, then it's temporal. We look at things that are temporary, and we make a big deal out of them, trophies and money and all kinds of things that enter into there. But if we're looking through the world, through the heavenly lens, and that's our worldview, then we have eternity in mind. And here's what God said about it, Matthew 6:19-20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. I am absolutely amazed every time they put up one of these places where people, I can't even remember what you call them, but they keep their stuff in them. those places where they keep their stuff. Somebody tell me what it is. What? Storage place. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And when you get 77, something happens. But anyway, the storage places. And they build one and it fills up. I've been thinking about buying some land and building me one, see if I can make a little money. But they build one and it fills up. And all around Burleson, I've seen two or three. And by the time they get them built, they filled up with stuff people have. We have so much stuff, we got to rent. And if you do that, I'm not mad at you, but I'm just saying that's the way we are. We look at things like that on a temporary basis or temporal basis sometimes. And God says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Did you know you can do that? You can lay up treasures up there. We really can, doing it God's way. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So if your treasure's up in heaven, you're going to be thinking that way. John Wesley had an annual salary of 30 pounds, and he lived on 28 pounds, and he gave 2 pounds of his salary back to the work of the Lord. The next year after he was doing that, he got a raise, and they raised his salary. John Wesley doubled his salary. But he left his expenses at 28 pounds. He didn't increase that. And he gave all the increase, which amounted then to 32 pounds, to the work of the Lord. And he always lived very simply. He always lived very frugally. And he gave the surplus to the Lord. He gave a lot of money to charities, church-associated charities. He was very adamant, John Wesley. And that was that he laid up treasures in heaven. And this is a saying he was known for saying, what should rise is not the Christian standard of living, but his standard of giving. Boy, there's some truth to that, isn't it? What should rise is not the Christian standard of living, but his standard of giving. And whenever John Wesley died, they found a few coins in his pocket and a few coins in his dresser drawers, and that was it. That's all he had to his name, but he had invested in God's word. So we have, by the way, a number of ways we can invest in God's work through giving to missions. Faith Promise Missions, if you haven't gotten into that, you need to. But if you can give to missions, you give your tithes and offerings. So the church, we enjoy the pews and the heat and the lights and the facilities and all of that and the materials that we have missions, giving so that we can have the ministries of the church to reach out for these young women who are with child, who need help, and who receive Christ usually, and just every ministry we have. There's so much that we can give to that really has an eternal impact, and so we need to be involved in giving. So givers understand the character of God, and givers obey the command of God. And then thirdly, givers trust the care of God. Givers trust the care of God. Giving is obeying God and trusting God. Let me say that again. Giving is obeying God, and trusting God, what God's going to do. In the text, it says, give and it might be given unto you. Is that right? Some of you are not even listening. You don't know whether to nod or say yes or no right now. But what it says, what it really says, he didn't say give and it might be given unto you. Is that what it says? Not at all. Give and it shall be given unto you. It shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given. Luke 6:38, he says in that verse, you see it there, good measure. What does that mean? Well, it's going to benefit you. It's good for you, and it's measured. It's good measure. And then pressed down and shaken together. In other words, it's going to press all of it in the container. Not like the cereal you get, You know, you buy that cereal and take it home and shake it two or three times, and you got about a half a box or maybe three quarters. But God says, press it down. I'm going to press it down. It's going to be packed full because I'm going to take care of it. Press down, shaking together, running over, overflowing, running over like water running over in a glass. And I'm going to give into your bosom. What does that mean? Going to put it in your stomach? No, usually it refers to what they were wearing and the cloth that they had. And back then, they would know what that meant. My mother used to, we'd go out and get beans and pick beans or something, and she had an apron on, and she'd fill that up and pull it up to her bosom. And that's the idea here. God's going to give it to you. It's going to be in your apron. You can pull it up to your bosom, like going to the market and filling up a garment. Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I wonder how many of us really, honest to God, believe that. I hope all of us do. I really do. People who give also trust God. We trust God. That's why we call it in the mission, all giving is really faith giving. But in that, we trust God that he's going to meet our needs. And by the way, it's not always money. There are a lot of other needs, physical needs and emotional needs and other things that we need in our lives that God supplies us with. But Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hudson Taylor knew that as he went out as a missionary that he was going to have to depend on God, and he was going to have to pray and get God to help him because he wasn't going to have the support he needed, and he certainly wasn't going to get it where he was going. But he knew he had to depend on prayer and God. He was in medical school at one point, and he had a boss that he was working with. He was an assistant to a man by the name of Dr. Hardy. Now, he told Dr. Hardy, or rather told him, whenever it's time for you to get your pay, remind me. He was paying Hudson Taylor, and so he said, you remind me. Well, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to remind him. He just wanted to pray and ask God. And one day his salary was due, but he wouldn't ask for it. But he had left in his pocket one crown that was left. He would make it his habit of going on Saturday down to the slums, and he would witness for people, Hudson Taylor. And so he went to the slums that day, and he found a man that was saying, I really need some help. And he said, I want you to come and see my wife. And he went in to see his wife, and there were three children surrounding her, and there was a little baby that was there that was only 35 hours old. And he had not been paid yet, and that's all he had. And he didn't have any way of giving them part of it. And he didn't want to give them all of it. Maybe he could afford to give them 1.5 shillings. But he told them, he said, well, you know, God will provide, and I'll pray for you, and God will provide. But then as he walked away, he felt guilty. And the poor man was begging him as he walked away, for God's sake, please help us. Please do it. And so Taylor said he remembered Jesus' words, give to him that asketh of thee. Give to him that asketh of thee. And he gave that coin, and he said, basically, he was joyfully broke. Have you ever been joyfully broke? And so that's not the end of the story. The next day, something came in the mail for him, and it was a pair of new kids' gloves, and then what they call then a half a sovereign coin, and it was worth 5 times the amount that he gave away to that poor family. And he knew that God had outgiven his gift. And he always will outgive your gift. Always. He'll do it. That's the way God does it. He'll outgive your gift. Now, how's your giving? You say, well, it's great. It's good. And I'm giving by faith. Well, praise the Lord. But if not, you need to get with God's program. So you just don't know my needs, my bills, and all of that. Well, tell it to the widow woman that Jesus honored, when that's all she had was a widow's mite. And God took care of her, did he not? So we hesitate sometimes, we hold back. Are we going to trust God and obey what God leads us to do and then watch God provide it? The world says it's to gain. It's to get everything we can get. It's to hoard what we get. Get it, put it in the can, and close the lid and sit on the can. Don't let anybody else get it. And God's view is to gain. The way to gain is to give. It's always God's view. You can't beat God's view. Proverbs 11:24, there is, and we read that a while ago, that scattereth, and yet they increase. And there is that withholdeth more than is necessary, but it tendeth to poverty. It's going to lead to poverty in your life, in your attitude, all of those things. So God gives us one lifetime, just one lifetime to invest in eternity. And boy, it goes pretty fast, doesn't it? I remember Brother Fielder having that long rope up here and had a little mark on it that represented our time in eternity. And that ours is just like one grain of sand, our life, in all of the beach. I mean, we're here for a little while and we're gone. It's just the way it is. We don't know when. We don't know what. But we have one lifetime, one, just one, to invest in eternity, all of eternity. You can invest in the stock market or some of these other Bitcoin or whatever you're doing, whatever you want to do, but that's all uncertain, isn't it? It really is. It's uncertain. The stock market's uncertain. But God's promises are sure. And if you lay up treasures in heaven, I grant you, it's going to be there. And the return God gives is going to be the right kind of return. So give, and God honors your giving. How? Well, by giving, just like Hudson Taylor experienced it, he'll give beyond what we give. He always does. And I've been giving for many, many years, my wife and I, and I can say to that, amen, 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 and amen. Just think today, just think. Meditate a moment in your mind what God has done for you. What God has done for you. And whenever we think about that, our attitude ought to be the same attitude the psalmist had. And here's what he said, Psalm 116:12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I give unto the Lord, render unto the Lord in service, in using my treasure, my talent, and my time for him for all his benefits toward me? My soul, what God has done for us, what he has done for us, and what we should be willing to do for him and invest in eternity. Invest in eternity, not just things down here. Live off, be frugal, live off of, you don't have to always have a higher lifestyle as you go up and get raises. Live like you were living, God will be pleased with it. Give, lay up treasures in heaven, and it'll be a good thing to do. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that it is true that if we'll give, it shall be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, and you'll give it abundantly to us, abounding. And we thank you that you do that and you honor our putting you first in our finances. And help us to do that always, God, even when it takes faith, and often that's the case. Maybe weekly we give it by faith. But we know you'll honor it. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.